You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Your insurance company may have written your policy, but they don't decide the law. Call the Wallace Firm now at 844-844-WINS. By holding insurance accountable, the Wallace Firm is helping our community rebuild. That's 844-844-WINS or visit wallacewins.com. Proud partner of Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
All right, LA, thank you for tuning in. Greatly appreciate you being a part of the show. Lakers Talk tonight goes till 9 o'clock. Excited about tonight's show. Mark Medina from USA Today Sports will join the show. Ben Golliver covers sports for the Washington Post. And then Joe Varden from The Athletic. You got actually all three of these guys are in the Orlando bubble. So we're going to have a great idea what that bubble life is like. And then we'll obviously talk a lot of NBA basketball, a lot of Los Angeles Lakers basketball. Some unfortunate news yesterday for the Los Angeles Lakers. That's what we're going to start off the show. No surprise there. Rajon Rondo. Out 6 to 8 weeks. I want to spend some time to start off this show is really what does this mean for the Lakers? What does it mean when you have a player of Rajon Rondo's caliber? What does it mean? So what the loss does for the Los Angeles Lakers without Rondo? Let me just say this. I'll start off. Rondo, listen, some reasons I get it. There have definitely been some reasons out there where, you know, you're looking at Rondo's play during the season where you put your hand on top of your heads and say, come on, Rondo. No, we got to be better than that. Whatever the case is, right? We do it from a fan perspective. But the criticism, and I talked about this maybe a week or two ago, the criticism that Rondo would get from Laker fans, it just became popular. It just became the thing to do. And I don't think it always justified Rajon Rondo. It's almost similar to when we started the season. KCP was just getting it from Laker fans. And this isn't uncommon. This happens in every sport with every team. There's always a player that gets picked on. And a lot of that has to do with, obviously, their performance on the court or on the field or whatever the case is. But I think also, in some cases, it gets blown out of proportion. To me, Rondo is a perfect example of that. Every time Rondo got on the floor, I would just see Twitter start blowing up. He made a mistake, it would start blowing up. Well, let me explain to Laker fans that are out there what the Lakers will miss without Rajon Rondo for 6 to 8 weeks. First thing they're going to miss is leadership. I mean, that's a no-brainer right there. That's a key thing that the Lakers are going to miss without Rondo. Every Laker fan has the same goal. The goal is to try and get number 17 this year. The goal is to win an NBA championship. So I don't have to go into the details of that and explain it. Every Laker fan feels the same way. How you get there obviously takes a number of different players that have different that provide different assets on the roster. So just to give an example, and we'll stay on Rajon Rondo for a second, is Rondo at a stage of his career the way he was in Boston where he was leading the team in assists and he was really the quarterback on the floor, was able to be incredibly impactful on the defensive side? No, he's not that player anymore. We know that. But one of the things that Rondo has as good as anybody on this team, and you could throw LeBron James into that category, is leadership. Rondo is a student of the game. If there's one thing that Rondo has from players in the league, from coaches in the league, and I'm sure from a lot of fans in the league, you respect how much he knows the game. So when you start looking at what the Lakers are going to lose without Rondo, that's the first thing that comes to mind. I'll play some clips from head coach Frank Vogel, who was on a Zoom call a little bit earlier today. Again, local reporters. We had Lakers Talk on Saturday. We had Lakers Talk on Sunday. We had Lakers Talk, Laker players and coaches talk today as well. So I got, you know, obviously opportunity to be on those calls. So I'll play the impact Danny Green thinks without Rondo, what coach thinks without Rondo. But for me, the one thing that always stands out when you talk about Rajon Rondo, there is this playoff Rondo that wasn't made up. He does and has performed fantastic in the playoffs. And there's also this, like I mentioned, this leadership that comes with Rajon Rondo. That's something that's going to be sorely missed for the Lakers. Let me tell you another thing that the Lakers will miss without having Rajon Rondo in the lineup. So not having Rondo in the lineup, you're going to miss somebody coming off the bench who could play quarterback. It's not going to happen. You know, we know that when LeBron's on the floor, for the most part, LeBron is the point guard. For the most part. You still want a traditional point guard. He could bring the ball up the floor. I mean, there are certain times where you don't want LeBron doing it, or strategically you don't have LeBron doing it. That's another thing the Lakers are going to miss. They're going to miss Rajon Rondo coming in off the bench and trying to kind of orchestrate what that bench is going to look like. And I'm sure there's going to be Laker fans out there, and I'll talk about, you know, other players that will have an opportunity to step up with Rondo out. But I don't think that there isn't value to that. I think there's value to having Rondo off the bench. I 100% think there's value to having Rondo's leadership. Also, missing a guy that is on the bench that can help kind of coach in a sense. You know, I think that's what Rondo is. Rondo seems to be one of those players that can help players on the court and off the court as well. So those are the things that the Lakers are going to miss without Rajon Rondo. Okay. But I do have some good news. So with all that being said, the good news that I'll say right here is probably the best way that I could describe it is it's going to force other players to have to step up, right? So all of a sudden now you lose Rondo. Now you're depending on Quinn Cook, Dion Waiters, J.R. Smith, Alex Caruso, and KCP. They're, I think, already going to be playing heavy minutes just because they were playing good minutes before, and Avery Bradley's going to be out. Another thing that I think it does for the Lakers that, you know, so basically those players are going to have an opportunity to produce. So that's obviously something that you can look at as a positive. The other positive is this. Let me just kind of try to find some positive out of Rondo being out 6 to 8 weeks. Here are the positives. The positives are he's going to be back. You know, August 18th is when the playoffs starts. That's 5 weeks away. So August 18th, 5 weeks away, what Rondo will have missed is training camp and these 8 regular season games. Okay. By the time the first round is over, the second round will start on September 1st. The second round will begin on September 1st. So that's around 7 weeks away. So what I would kind of combat with, one of the positives that the Lakers have with Rondo being out is they have time on their side. That because of the way the NBA is structured, like if this happened a month from now, that would obviously be a tough pill to swallow. It would be certainly a tougher pill to swallow. But the fact that that's not the case, the fact that we're at least in a position where we know Rondo is eventually going to come back, okay, look at that as a positive, because that is kind of the reality of the situation. The reality is Rondo will come back. But I don't like underestimating Rondo's value. Because I know how quick everybody's jumping in. I was tagged in some tweet showing the Lakers' chances of winning a championship will increase. I don't know what the hell the tweet was. But in my mind, I'm like, what are we doing? You know, I think Rondo certainly has some value on this team. Can the Lakers win a championship without Rondo in the first round? Yes, they can. I don't think anybody would question that. But would it be nice to have Rondo for the playoffs, even this regular season? Of course it would have. That's not going to be in the cards for the Los Angeles Lakers, which means other players are going to have to step up. And I want to talk about who I think will have an opportunity to grab some of those minutes from Rajon Rondo. We'll do that coming up next. By the way, I also want to just point this out here. Some of the different sound that we have coming from practice today. Head coach Frank Vogel talked about who he thinks may get some of those minutes. Danny Green, how the Lakers will fill Rondo's minutes and Avery Bradley. So you got a number of players that were kind of jumping in here to give their thoughts and their opinions on what the Lakers are going to do without Rondo. So we'll do all that coming up next. As always, appreciate you guys tuning in. Just a quick reminder, Mark Medina from USA Today Sports, he's coming up at 7 o'clock. We'll get that coming your way as well. We'll talk more about Rondo coming up next. If you want to throw out who you think should get a ton of those minutes that won't be there without Rondo, Quinn Cook, Dion Waiters, J.R. Smith, you want to obviously give opinion on that, you can. 877-710-ESPN. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, so unfortunately, yesterday we got news that Rajon Rondo will be out for 6 to 8 weeks. And part of that conversation, you know, tonight is talking about, okay, well, how are we going to fill those minutes? Here's head coach Frank Vogel on specifically just more from an idea perspective, who will get Rondo's minutes. He definitely thinks there's some opportunities, even including Deion Waiters.
Obviously, more will be needed in that regard from Alex and from Quinn Cook. We have the ability to use our bigs, like you said, with Kuz and in particular AD, and having the ability to bring it up and handle and initiate offense. But I also like the prospects of seeing what Deion Waiters can do, you know, and we've got two really good basketball players that we added late in our season that do different things. You know, but equally as important, and with JR being able to shoot from the perimeter and catch and shoot, to be a big time catch and shoot player, and Deion with the ability to make plays off the bounce, and you know, losing Rondo puts more of a need on Deion's skill set. So you know, I look forward to seeing what he can do more as we get into games. But all of those guys will pick up the slack.
All right, that's head coach Frank Vogel. So that's part of these Zoom calls that that we're pretty much doing on a almost seems like a daily basis. Lakers given access to obviously the players and the coaches. Okay, so real quick, who do you want to see get Rondo's minutes? 877-710-ESPN. Who do you think would be the right fit here for the Lakers? And it's not like they don't have options, because they definitely have options. I'm not going to throw Alex Caruso, and I'm not going to throw KCP into the mix yet. I'll tell you why I'm not going to throw them into the mix. I think they're already going to get big minutes. First of all, they were going to play, I thought, significant minutes, period, even if Avery Bradley and Rondo were on the floor. And now with Avery Bradley opting not to be a part of Orlando, Rajon Rondo obviously out for 6 to 8 weeks, don't worry about Alex Caruso and KCP. They're going to be in a lot of these games. They're going to get big-time minutes. I wouldn't be surprised if KCP starts. And, you know, certainly don't be surprised to see Alex Caruso getting 25 minutes plus a game. And I don't think that's a stretch right there. But I think this is an interesting name that I want to throw out there that really hasn't got that many opportunities yet this year. And maybe this is his, you know, his chance. I'm curious to see if Quinn Cook gets some PT. I'm curious to see what Quinn Cook can do, because here's the reality. The time that Rondo is going to be out, it's going to be during the regular season, number one. And number two, and the regular season is these 8 games, and it's going to be the first round of the playoffs. Do I feel like the Lakers are in jeopardy of losing in the first round, no matter if it's Portland or New Orleans or Memphis or Sacramento? You'd list any team that you want. No, I don't think the Lakers have any risk of losing in the first round. By the way, I really, you know, this all comes down to this. If Anthony Davis and LeBron James are healthy, then Lakers got a chance to beat any team. But hopefully they're as healthy as possible. But the Quinn Cook part is interesting to me. Cook has got minutes in the past for the Golden State Warriors in the postseason. So last season, I was actually listening to Mason and Ireland list down. They were listing down the difference between the Lakers and the Clippers. And they were talking about, okay, well, look at all these vets that the Lakers have. You know, the Lakers have 7 players that either played in the NBA Finals or won an NBA championship. So it's LeBron James, Rajon Rondo, Quinn Cook is on that list, JaVale McGee, Danny Green. Who am I missing on this list? Who am I missing? That's 5 right there. J.R. Smith is another one. That's 6. Oh, and Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard, obviously, against the Lakers, made to the NBA Finals. There's 7 players right there. So Quinn Cook could be one of those players because he has some postseason experience. By the way, shot 44% from the field during the season, shot almost 40% from 3, I think 38%. He's young. He's got energy, can be a spark plug off the bench. I'm curious. Plus, you're not asking – it's not like you're asking Quinn Cook to go out there and win you an NBA championship. You're just asking him to come off the bench during the regular season and the first round. That's pretty much all you're asking for. So there's one player
that I think is going to get an incredible opportunity with Rondo being out. Okay, here's another player that I think is kind of interesting. Deion Waiters. I have no idea what to expect from Deion Waiters this postseason. I don't, and I think most Laker fans are not 100% sure how are we going to know what to expect. He played three.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Games this year, and he never played a game with the Los Angeles Lakers. So by the time he was brought in the buyout market, then the stoppage played, he was trying to get into conditioning, proper conditioning, and then everything stopped. So I don't know what to expect from Deion Waiters, but I will say, talk about an opportunity for him. He's a talented player. He's only 28 years old too. Somebody that can, has got the ability to get you buckets. He can be an asset off the bench for the Lakers. Right now, those are the two players that I would say have a great opportunity to fill in kind of that role that I'm talking about with Rondo being out. Now, that doesn't mean that J.R. Smith can't chip in. I already made my case about Caruso and KCP that they're going to be – they have their own minutes, plus they're going to split Avery Bradley's minutes, so don't worry about them. They're going to get a ton of minutes. I think the question is more going to be about the Rondo minutes, like I mentioned. Danny Green, a little bit earlier today, talked about how the Lakers will fill in the Avery Bradley and Rajon Rondo minutes.
Oh man, that's a coach's question. I don't really make the substitutions, but I can tell you who we have. Things may shift. Guys will get more minutes now since Avery and Rondo's out. We did pick up JR. We did pick up Deion. We have myself, KCP, Alex Caruso, as you mentioned, Quinn Cook, Deion Waiters, JR Smith, Talen, who's been doing very well as a rookie, who's learned a lot. And we have a couple other wings, other guys. Maybe I'm drawing a blank here, but we have so many guys on our team now. It's like 16, 17 guys. It's hard to decipher who's wings and who's a big. So obviously, Bron plays a wing. Kuz plays a wing. Even AD sometimes. He handles it a lot. But from my perspective, those are the main guys. I think they'll be on the perimeter.
All right. Let's just say that Danny Green thinks the Lakers have plenty of options, and I think that's the point. At the end of the day. Listen, you don't want to see any more players, certainly from an injury perspective, leave or have to, not be a part of the Lakers. And it does sound like, Rondo will leave the bubble to go get his treatment and everything else. So with all that being said, Lakers got some help, but it kind of does make them a little bit thinner. But I'm not too concerned when Rondo's only going to be out for 6 to 8 weeks. Manuel and Gardena, appreciate you calling in, my man. How are you doing?
Oh, Alan Sliwa, the Slee stacking chips, talking Lakers basketball on East Coast trips in the bubble right now. Hey, couple things, man. Rumor has it that ever since old Rajon Rondo took the title of NBA player who looks most like an outer space alien from one Sam Cassell and Popeye Jones. Mm-hmm. I mean, is this guy like half bird or something? I mean, does he have hollow bones? Because, man, I love the guy. And I know playoff Rondo, but my dude seems to be getting hurt a whole lot in that purple and gold. I'm hoping that this is just something that he could rush back from, because 8 weeks, man, I don't know. I think that's going to be a little too late.
I'll say this, Manuel. So Earlier, I think it was Danny Green talking about this, about the injury. I think he had said something to the effect of Rondo's got big hands and he's always got his hands in passing lanes and he's always kind of poking at the ball and so forth. I mean, this is kind of how he's made his career. You remember back in the days when he was with the Celtics, he was always kind of a pesk on defense. So that's, you're saying maybe a little bit more susceptible to injuries. That's probably one way to kind of explain it. But it doesn't help. They've already been off basketball for 4 months. So you had another 6 to 8 weeks. He could be out of basketball for 6 months. But you saw –
I don't know if you saw some of his Twitter photos that the Lakers put out. The dude looked like he was in great shape conditioning wise. At least he could probably keep all his conditioning going. It's just a matter of getting, you know, obviously his hand right. But I know, unfortunate, very unfortunate.
So, man, because that veteran leadership would really come through down in Orlando. Hey, one last thing, please, for the love of God, Sliwa.
Yes.
Last week I was screaming at my radio. Mm-hmm. Drive-thrus are where you pick up food. Okay.
Drive-in. Drive-in. Yeah, drive-in.
Drive-in.
You're right.
Movie theater.
You're right.
Okay, from the days of yore. And that's one good thing about 2020. I would have never thought that drive-ins were coming back. And I had many a good night at a drive-in, but that's another story for another time. So you take care, all right?
All right, Manuel. Thank you for calling in. All right, it's Manuel from Gardena. He's right. He's right, Curtis. It's a drive-in. It's not a drive-thru. All right? That's on me right there. Okay, I got another clip that I do want to play. So how did Rondo break his hand? Head coach Frank Vogel wasn't too sure, but here was his explanation on the Zoom call.
We're not sure exactly. He's not sure exactly how it happened. You know, he just reported that, you know, as he was playing, it just started hurting a little bit more and more, and to the point where he got to a break and, you know, asked to go over and have the trainers look at it and was concerned something had happened. But he was not sure exactly what play it happened on.
All right, that's head coach Frank Vogel. So I think probably still a little bit of a mystery. The other part also that coach was trying to emphasize, and I mentioned this a little bit earlier, you know, one of the advantages to having one of your players out 6 to 8 weeks when you're really not starting basketball again. Yes, you're starting training camp, but your regular season won't start for about 2.5 weeks. I gave some dates. August 18th would be the start of the first round. September 1st would be the start of the second round. So you have some time. Here's coach really just emphasizing that Rondo will be back, and he'll obviously be back for the playoffs.
It benefits us in this situation in particular. And, you know, what we have to understand about Rajan, like losing Rajan is a huge loss for our team. But we expect Rajan to be part of our playoff run. You know, we're looking at 6 to 8 weeks, puts us somewhere around the first, second round of the playoffs. And, you know, we're very confident that, you know, he will he'll be able to get back and, you know, be a major factor for us in our playoff run. So having the seeding games, you know, the way they've set up this sort of schedule benefits us in this situation for sure.
All right. That's head coach Frank Vogel. So that's probably the meat of what, you know, coach talked about, some of the players talked about with Rondo today. And that's certainly how I wanted to start off the show. When you, you're doing a 2.5 hour Lakers show and you lose, you know, one of your vets for 6 to 8 weeks, of course, we're going to spend some time on that. But one of the things I want to do when we come back, so Mark Medina, who writes for USA Today Sports, he's in the bubble. So the life of the bubble, which, by the way, it has been pretty comical the way just the kind of the conversations that have come out of this quarantine life in the bubble, players talking about their food, what they're eating. I think most of the time I kind of agree with Mace on this. They were having the conversation on Crosstalk. I'm more with Mace that I don't think people really want to hear that the amenities aren't as good as what you're accustomed to. The food isn't as good as what you would like. I just think that that's probably not the best of time right now to be talking about that stuff, especially with just the climate of what's going on across the country. But with all that being said, I have such an incredible curiosity of what this bubble life is. And, you know, fortunately for the show tonight, Mark Medina, Ben Golliver, and Joe Varden, all three of them are in this bubble. So we'll definitely get a lot more information of kind of the process, how it works, what they're able to do, what they're not able to do. And then we'll talk a lot of NBA. We'll do that all coming up next. Mark Medina, USA Today Sports, he's coming up next. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
All right, life in the Orlando bubble. Who can give us just an idea of what's going on? Nobody better than Mark Medina from USA Today Sports. Mark, thank you, my man. I appreciate you taking the time and joining the show. How are you doing?
Oh, Alan, good to talk with you. Doing well, all things considered. I mean, I'm stuck in quarantine in a hotel. You can't go anywhere. But, you know, I'm on this mission to shame any one of us that are complaining about our setup, because there's a lot more serious things going on in the world, and I'm just excited that I can finally travel again and, you know, in a few weeks start seeing some hoops.
Well, Mark, let's actually start with that, because that's been something that kind of irked me a little bit. And listen, I know for the most part, you know, players are joking around. Like, I don't take them too serious. I think maybe part of me takes them serious, but I like that you started it that way, because here's the reality. There is a kind of a PR portion to this, right? And a public relations portion of this, I would say, is timing is everything. Read the room. The timing right now, if you're an NBA athlete, or if you're, you know, obviously you're a player in this bubble and you're staying at a resort and these accommodations, you get X amount of meals a day, it just doesn't look good. You agree with me on that? Or do you think that a lot of these guys were just joking around and maybe people took it too seriously?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. You know, I think by and large, not many people complain. I mean, you're talking about, you know, a league that has, what, 300-plus people that are participating. But, yeah, I think that they have to keep in perspective, and let's just call a spade a spade. It seemed like Rajon Rondo was the most guilty of comparing, you know, his hotel to Motel 6. I mean, that hotel is pretty nice amenities. But even if it was kind of basic, it doesn't matter. Like, we're in the middle of a pandemic, and it's all about health and safety. It's not about how nice your room is and what the service is. Now, you know, being in the bubble, I know that there's a lot of, you know, real life challenges they have to go through. I mean, you know, the meals have been inconsistent when it's delivered, and you're wondering how should you time your day, and when you start getting hungry, it's hard to focus, all that stuff. But, like, it's all relative, and, you know, I think in this time, like, no one cares, right? Because there's you know, a lot of people that have faced a lot of more serious misfortune here, with just dealing with ill family members, dealing with the loss of employment, not knowing where to go next. So, you know, whatever inconveniences, it's not a big deal, number one. And number two, it just all falls under the umbrella of, I think, the theme of this whole pandemic of, you just roll with the punches, make it through the day, and hold on to the victories, right? So that's what it should be all about.
Okay, so Mark, can you describe just the bubble in general? What was the process for you to end up in Orlando? You're sitting in your hotel room right now. Walk us through it, because I have an incredible amount of curiosity, where we get a chance to, you know, listen to the players on these Zoom calls. You were on, obviously, the calls earlier today with Kuzma and Danny Green and head coach Frank Vogel, and we've had those for the last couple of days, but now you're in this bubble. So describe just the process, what had to happen for you to end up being there, and you're sitting in there now quarantining.
Yeah, well, we all had to sign, you know, legal consent forms, you know, hey, we're not going to compromise the bubble, go to the different hotels where the teams are, because we're all supposed to be isolated. We're at whichever hotel we're at, that's where we're supposed to stay. You know, we filled out a medical questionnaire, and, you know, thankfully I've been healthy. I haven't had any issues at all. So that was step number one. Then when I flew here, you know, they wanted us to get here Sunday afternoon in time for testing. And the reality is, you know, I'm based in LA, right? You're losing 3 hours flying. So I flew Saturday, so I'd be able to get to the site by Sunday afternoon. And so we made arrangements, the NBA and I, that a driver would pick me up at the airport the hotel I was staying at near the airport. You know, around 12:30, they took me to the campus site, got there around 1:30, and then, you know, there's kind of a wait and see with the check-in, get your name in. I get the Disney Magic band, which is essentially your hotel key room. you know, I was then transported to the hotel. And once I got to the hotel, I had to stay there the entire time because that's the beginning of my quarantine. And, you know, there's been Disney workers that have, you know, placed meals outside my door periodically throughout the day. And then at the end of the day, you know, these health officials come by to test me for coronavirus. You know, I get two nasal swabs, not the deep one. It's, you know, the mild one just at the tip.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And then I get a mouth swab. And thankfully, I got the results of the first one yesterday. It came out negative. I just took a test about an hour ago for my second. I'll know the results tomorrow. And so with that, beyond that, I have to be in the room. I'm just doing Zoom calls, different radio interviews, trying to connect with people on the phone and just do my work. So, you know, it's a lot more fun when I'm seeing guys like you at games and watching them and going
sure.
to locker room. But you know what? I haven't traveled since February to Chicago for NBA All-Star Weekend. So just the fact that we're able to do this now, hey, it's a huge win in my book.
Mark Medina from USA Today Sports joining Lakers Talk. Mark, so you took another test today. How long do you have to be quarantined for now?
Yeah, so we're quarantined at the very minimum till next Monday, and that assumes that every time we're tested throughout this week, each test comes out negative.
Hmm.
And so what happens is we've been given like a different health app every day where we have to put data, where we take our temperature. There's another device that I guess takes our pulse of our heart rate with a little device, and we put all that data in there. And you know, I also report, hey, do you feel any symptoms and all that stuff. And so far, it's been good. And then we'll get the test usually, you know, 12 hours or 15 hours after it's taken. And so this week, if there's any tests that come up positive, you know, that changes the course of things. I would be put in quarantine for 2 weeks and taken to a different location. But assuming all goes well and there's negative tests up through Sunday, I will be out of quarantine Monday. I'll switch rooms somewhere on this campus, and then, you know, I'll have relatively more freedom. I can leave my room, but you know, you can't go to the other properties. I can really only venture out to be transported to practices once they are open, you know, scrimmages once they start on the 23rd, you know, when the season resumes, season opener starts on the 30th with the Lakers and Clippers. I can go to that game and other games and go to the press conferences. But beyond that, there's really not much else you can do, but it's, I think still at the end of the day, we're going to be busy enough with all these games.
Oh yeah.
Right about. So it's not like I would have had time to go to Disney World, even if I wanted to.
The movie continues. That's what I keep saying, Mark, that this just all seems like a movie, this bubble created to keep the virus out. Mark Medina from USA Today joining Lakers Talk. So Mark, what does it mean that two NBA players out of, I think, 322 tested positive during this quarantine? What does that mean to the NBA? Like, it sounds like such an incredibly low number, but at the same time, are they like, no, we have to come in with no positive tests? Like, what does that two mean to the NBA, to the league?
Yeah, it's a very difficult question to answer. I would say that they are left away with more encouragement than concern. And I don't say that lightly, because they're not viewing the players as chess pieces. They're viewing the players and everyone else as human beings. And, you know, statistically, hey, they're young and it doesn't affect that age group as much, but there's studies that show there's some long-term ramifications. You can always be putting yourself in danger of passing on to friends and loved ones and family members and all that. But the reality is this: the NBA designed the schedule so that when there were positive cases, the hope was it would happen at the beginning and less as they're going into Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, you know, the two players that the NBA announced tested positive, they were in Orlando, but it didn't compromise the campus setup because they had been in quarantine and they weren't clear to get out of quarantine. So then they had to go home to recover. And Russell Westbrook, you know, he announced he was tested positive, but he was tested positive before the Rockets went to Orlando last week. So if you're going to look at all that stuff, it is a good sign that none of the tests that were positive is compromising the whole setup overall. But
got it.
It's such a fluid moving part. And, you know, I think once the season starts where everyone is in this bubble and everyone's supposed to be on a blank slate, if something happens where there's a positive case, then there's going to be a lot of reason to be concerned.
Mark Medina from USA Today joining Lakers Talk. We're talking about life in the bubble and all the different elements that come with the NBA obviously trying to finish off their season. Mark, can you explain for those who don't know, what is this Disney Magic Band? Can you explain exactly what that is, what it does, and the purpose of having it?
Yeah, well, you know, a caveat is that I'm still getting my head wrapped around it, and I'm trying to, you know, talk to people in the league about it. But so far what I know is the most basic thing, it's your hotel room key. You wear it. It's like a watch. And, you know, if you need to open the door, you just line it up against the detector that reads the key. So that's purpose number one. Purpose number two is it stores the data that you input with this, the stuff that I was telling you about, the temperature checks and
that's right.
symptoms. Mm-hmm. They store all that so they have it, and it's an easy way for them to organize, right? And they also have this device to be used as a security check-in key. So this is more applicable to like the players and the team members and coaches now. When they go to practice or when they're going to start going to games or anything else, they have to, you know, use this Disney Magic Band to welcome themselves in. And that serves two purposes. If the NBA notices that, hey, there was a positive test that emerged or these symptoms were troublesome, it would flash a red light and not allow that person to enter that site because they say, hey, this person might be in danger here. But then the other thing is if it's after the fact where a player is suddenly diagnosed with COVID, they can trace back to the last place that they were at, and that's the source of contact tracing. So in theory, they can go back to that place, clear the area so no one's in danger as well. But I think the thing that I have to stress is that it's not like this device is the NBA is using to track like what players are, you know, doing in their hotel room or what movies are they ordering on TV, wherever, where they're walking. Like it is simply a tracking device of where they're checking into like practice facilities, arenas, that sort of thing.
Man, it sounds when you explain it that way and kind of we go through and now you're actually in the Orlando bubble. How are you feeling? Do you feel, I don't know, do you feel more confident that the NBA is going to get a chance to finish the season, seeing, the, you know, getting a first hand to see everything that they're doing, all the precautionary measures, all that? I mean, has that changed at all since you got there or you still have no idea what tomorrow holds?
Yeah. I think big picture, none of us know what anything holds, right? Like this is all subject to change every day, but I think the NBA has done everything that it could to prepare for the expected and the unexpected. And so I think what I've seen so far, it's a lot of hiccups. It's going to be messy, but it's nothing that's going to be debilitating where someone's life is at stake or that it gets so troublesome that they think, you know, well, we're better off shutting down the season. But I think that everyone's going to be dealing with an ongoing set of inconveniences. And, you know, this not complaining because of my earlier point, but I think this illustrates it, right? So, for example, you know, we were supposed to start getting our meals delivered, like, on a normal basis. So, like, yesterday, it's supposed to be delivered at 6. It didn't show up till 8. We were supposed to get tested in the afternoon. I didn't get tested till 10:30 at night. Mm-hmm. Today, the meals arrived at 6 for dinner. The testing took place, I believe, at 9:15. So that was, what, an hour and 15 minutes earlier? I think that example shows that there's going to be incremental progress each day with improving some of those things, going, you know, trying to cover up some of their shortcomings. But at the same time, there's always going to be new things that pop up with everyone, injuries, cases, inconveniences. But I think that systematically they've designed enough safeguards where they can make the needed adjustments that it's not significant and it's really just inconvenient for everyone. But that's the world we're in. And, you know, compared to what else is going on and the effects that COVID has brought, you know, inconveniences aren't that big of a deal.
Mark, I'll leave you this one final one, and I appreciate you taking the time, as I mentioned, obviously chat about the bubble. Lakers yesterday announced Rajon Rondo out 6 to 8 weeks. What does that mean for the Lake Show in this time that Rondo is out?
Well, it's significant, and Frank Vogel, did not underplay that. And you also wonder, okay, one of the things about the Lakers is they have a lot of depth. Is this death by a thousand paper cuts? But I think for me, this is inevitable with how every team's going to experience. So even if a team like the Clippers right now is fully healthy, I feel like every team is going to go through some roster fluctuation because of what's going on. And so I think there's two things here in play. As long as LeBron James and Anthony Davis are healthy, they're always going to be in the championship contending mix. And number two, you know, Frank Vogel said, hey, Rondo has a chance to, they're confident that he'll come back for the second round of the playoffs. Because if you look at the math, 6 to 8 weeks is roughly around that time when it starts. And that goes back to my earlier point where the NBA designed the schedule this way partly to help offset those injuries. But, you know, I think thirdly, the Lakers have been going through so much this season. And I think that this just fits the bill where, you know, they'll rely on younger guys, a combination of seeing who among Deion Waiters and J.R. Smith and Alex Caruso and Quinn Cook and Danny Green and anyone else can help fill those gaps that Avery Bradley and Rajon Rondo are leaving. I should also include Morris. And so I think because the Lakers have become used to this season, it's just another challenge that they feel like they have to overcome. But we'll have to wait and see if these are speed bumps or red flags. And that's kind of the enticing thing about this, but it's also, you know, a scary thing because we're dealing with a lot of real-life world problems there.
Mark, stay safe. Enjoy the bubble as best as you can. Hopefully, like you mentioned, in a week you'll be all clear to go. But thank you for doing this, my man. I appreciate it. Always appreciate the insight as well.
All right. Thanks so well, and be safe on your end in LA.
Sounds good. All right, that's Mark Medina right there from USA Today Sports. Well, there's our first kind of look-in, at least for me. I've got a chance to watch Malika Andrews, who's been on, obviously has been on ESPN, Chris Haynes. He's done some great work. So we've got chances to listen to some other folks, but getting a chance to get Mark Medina's opinion was great. And he just got there. Sounds like he just got there on Saturday. Okay. Are players complaining too much in the bubble? What are your thoughts on that? When players send out a photo or a picture and, you know, they're pointing out this is not what they're accustomed to. Does that bother you, or is it no big deal at all? We'll talk a little bit about that coming up next. Stay right here. Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
Your insurance company may have written your policy, but they don't decide the law. Call the Wallace Firm now at 844-844-WINS. By holding insurance accountable, the Wallace Firm is helping our community rebuild. That's 844-844-WINS or visit wallacewins.com. Proud partner of Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
All right, appreciate you guys tuning in. Coming up at 7:30, by the way, Ben Golliver from the Washington Post. Another great reporter that's out in the Orlando bubble. So are players complaining too much? First of all, of course they are. I mean, you want me to just be blunt? They are. Probably not the best look for the league. And to be honest with you, I think just for me, everything just comes down to timing. This country is in a and I know you could have a different take on this, but I'll just give you my take on it. It's a very interesting time in the world. A little bit later in the show, I'll talk about, you know, Curtis and I will do shootout, and I'll talk about when I went to the gym, what that experience was yesterday. A lot of restaurants that I'm seeing, you know, boarded up. It's sad. It really, really is sad. And that's just the climate that we're in. Hopefully that changes in the near future. But this is just the world that we're living in right now. So when I say timing is everything, I'm not saying when I see NBA players post a video or they put up a picture and they make fun of the food in the quarantine, or they say, yeah, this isn't it. This isn't happening. I'm not saying that there isn't some comedy to it, because I could see the comedy. I was laughing at some of the photos that were posted. But at the same time, every time I saw one of those or I saw somebody complaining about this resort in Disney World where the players are, you know, still making millions of dollars, where the food is completely included and they're going to take care of you with every meal of the day, which your accommodations are all taken care of, I'd be lying to you if I didn't say that that kind of goes into the back of my mind. And, you know, I'm kind of saying to myself, guys, not right now. Nobody wants to hear this. Nobody cares. Nobody's going to be sympathetic towards that. And that's not me trying to be, you know, too stern on the players, but I think that's the climate that we're in. People know how much the NBA players are making. They know how NBA players typically live. So know the climate. Read the room. Have fun with it, but just remember what's going on in the country. It's probably, by the way, safer in that bubble anywhere else in the country. Accommodations are going to be top-notch compared to how others live. So it is one of those things where you can't really complain. And if you are complaining, I don't know if it's the best idea to make it so public. Let's put it that way. Part of this also comes from Jay Williams, who's an ESPN basketball analyst. He was on Get Up earlier today. And he's explaining some of these tone-deaf comments from some players in the league.
I just think that some of the, even though they were said in a playful manner, a lot of the comments that were made over the last couple of days have been tone-deaf. And when you think about to what degree that the NBA has gone to create this billion-dollar bubble, the protective measure in place to protect these athletes while they make millions of dollars, I think when they make comments like that, it takes away, especially from, you know, everyday people who are working 9-to-5 jobs, who are working in environments where the same protective measures aren't being taken because a lot of their employers are trying to increase the bottom line due to the money that they've lost throughout this pandemic. And so for everyday working Americans, and I'm not saying that athletes aren't working Americans because they are, but the workload is different when you look at the comparison of the two. And I just think that the NBA has a chance to be such a game changer in the way these athletes are going to speak about systemic racism and injustice. And by doing little things like that, even though in a joking-like manner, it takes away from what the bigger cause is, which should be the cause they should be focusing on, Green.
All right, so that's Jay Williams. That's the key for me. The key is, I heard Richard Jefferson say this on Friday too. He's like, there's a bigger plan here. There's a bigger goal. You're trying to win an NBA championship. Focus on your job. Focus at what the big task is. And, you know, listen, I do feel like the Lakers are in a different position, of course, than the Sacramento Kings. And the Lakers are in a different position than the Phoenix Suns, the Washington Wizards, the Brooklyn Nets. But at the same time, I think you just have to embrace the predicament that you're in. And the fact that we might actually even crown a champion this year should be considered an accomplishment in itself. Is it perfect? No. Is it the accommodations that you're accustomed to? Obviously, it's not. But at the same time, read the room, understand where we are as a country and really where we are in the world right now. I think it's okay to also understand and appreciate just what you do have. By the way, Ja Morant, he tweeted something out that I loved. Maybe it was on Instagram. My room is fine. The food is fine. I'm not a silver spoon guy. Enes Kanter, I feel like we should be a little bit more grateful and thankful. Giannis had a long quote as well, talking about the way he grew up, how he lived, being in a small place with his family and his four brothers, that he has zero to complain about with the accommodation. So want to point that out as well. All right, Ben Golliver, Washington Post. He is a national NBA writer for the Washington Post. He's coming up next. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
Your insurance company may have written your policy, but they don't decide the law. Call the Wallace Firm now at 844-844-WINS. By holding insurance accountable, the Wallace Firm is helping our community rebuild. That's 844-844-WINS or visit wallacewins.com. Proud partner of Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.